Blog Talk Radio.
Cried so many hours trying to make it right. Just didn't have the power, and you've ignored all my tears in the hopes they disappear. I tried to let it go,
but I can't.
You just don't want to know. And if I had a dime for every time I tried to call your name, tell me I'd be well be learned that I could cope.
Well, 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 I discovered I could make it.
Oh, in nights so long and cold, so cold, you don't know how cold.
I discovered I could take it. Oh.
Now I wouldn't change a thing, no, no, not for the knowledge, not for the knowledge that I've gained. Let me say it like this, I learned that I could grow.
But you know, as it ministered to your spirit, you ought to just feel like whatever you was going through last week, the last 2 weeks, God has brought you a mighty long way. So he has brought me, because for the last 3 weeks, this show hadn't been on, because we've been traveling from here to there, and I've been traveling from here to there. But besides that, I was down for the count. I was sick, and God had a way. He was working with me. He was renewing my spirit. And I thank the Lord for it. So I'm going to be spirited right now because I can, because you know what it is? It's Wonderful Wednesday. And it's Wednesday that God has made possible. It's hump day. So we're going to have an awesome show tonight. So I'm in good spirits, and I hope each and every one of you who's on the line, you in what we call in micro space and in out there in the cognizance of the world, and you listen to us everywhere, we hope you're having an awesome night, an awesome Wednesday, a wonderful Wednesday night, because we are, and we're happy, and we're excited when we can hear a song like saying it's over now, no matter what you went through, because he wants you to be getting the grind. Again, we are the voice of the historical black college and university, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. This show is aired every Wednesday at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And I am the host, Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith. And if you want to be able to call in, our call-in number is 347-857-4192. Now we got a little, tonight is special. We got a giveaway prize that we're going to give away at about the midpoint, right at about the 8:30 point of the hour. And we're going to look down and we'll take the 10th caller. And the 10th caller, we call out the last four digits of your cell or telephone number. You'll receive that $25 gift card to go to Red Lobster. We gave out one on the earlier show, so we want you to join us, and you have an opportunity, and on us, we want you to have dinner. It may not be dinner for two, but if you can stretch it how you want to do it, but make sure you're calling in. If you listen to on the web link, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production, you can still be a part of it. All you do is call in at 347-857-4192. All right, now we're looking to have an awesome night tonight. I'm going to talk about my team members in a minute, but I want you to make sure you have the opportunity to email the show. You can email the show at talkingsportsplus@gmail.com, or you can tweet the show at talkingsportsplus with the number one, at Lorenza D. Smith, at Elliot Darrell, number one. We have Darrell on the line. I do appreciate it, Darrell. And at Tremaine Edwards with the number seven. And at Coach_L_Smith. Tonight's show is all about is championship time. So let me introduce a all-star lineup. Now, I have one of the individuals on right now, and I just got a text from the other two, and they say, you know, one of them Bible study, the other one say, well, I'm on the road, I'm trying to get to a spot where I can sit down and can talk, and we'll make sure we all have our team here. It's championship time. And each and every one of these team members is part of a championship team. And I am so blessed to have these individuals. But I'm going to introduce this young man. He's been kind of making some things do what they do for the last month or so. But we're glad to have him back. He's one of our co-hosts. He's known as the E-Train. He hails from up into Montgomery, all over to Troy, down to Dothan. And we glad to have him every time. He's our radio personality, Don King of Entertainment, none other than Darrell E-Train Elliott. How you doing, Darrell?
Dr. Smith, I'm glad to be back on the show with you tonight. You're right, I have been busy and continue to be busy. I was afraid I wasn't going to make the show tonight, but here I am.
Oh, God. God is good. Now, he made it possible. So, Darrell's with you. I appreciate having you back, Darrell. We'll keep on. We know you're grinding. We'll just keep on saying hashtag keep on grinding, doing what you have to do, and we'll be here for you. But we had a couple weeks off ourselves, so we're back at it again, and this is new for us again, but we're excited about it, Darrell, so we're ready to make it do what it do. Now, my other three hosts, co-hosts, they're, like I said, one of them is in travel, other in Bible study, and the other one letting me know they're trying to get on now. But I want to make sure I introduce them so when they come on, I can just kind of get a small introduction. But I'm so proud of having these individuals. So I'm excited about talking about them because this show wouldn't go without them because we are we're the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics. So these individuals are part of it, each and every one of them. We have the lady of the show. She's our millennial, and she's truly, truly that person that we love because she brings that voice of reasoning when she's talking. None other than our co-host, Coach Lauren D. Smith. Coach says she's trying to get on, and we look forward to having each and every one of them. So, you know, we're going to make sure we introduce. Then we have the king. None other there than the king on the hill of death. He's the one on the road coming from Birmingham. It was about 7 when he texted me. He said he's all the way to Meridianville up there to his house so he can make sure he'd be able to communicate with us. The man that have that slogan or that saying, ain't no fun when the rabbit had a gun. The king who now has won 2 most championships since we last talked there. His girls team won the city championship in Huntsville and his boys teams, and they are back to back. None other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. And last but not least, Darryl, we have our favorite person. He's at Bible study, and we know he's going to come. He's going to bring that spirit of the moment. He's going to talk with us, and he's going to share some things with us when he's on get on the show as soon as Bible study is over with. None other than our only Touchdown Tony. That's Coach Tony Touchdown Stallworth. Those are the co-hosts of the show. So, Darryl, we want to get started with the show, which is it's championship time. We're going to play some things. We're going to do some things. And, you know, like I told at the 8:30 hour, we're going to have a giveaway prize with $25 gift cards to the 10th caller. So we'll make sure we give that card out. We did it. And the winner, our last pre-show was Tiffany Wash. And she's giving me the information. She won this $25 gift card by joining us, and she was the 10th person that joined us on the live broadcast through Facebook. All right, championship time. We're going to talk about historical black colleges and university storyline, and we're going to start off talking about that magnificent, the great pageantry of the most well-known, the most visited basketball tournament in historical black colleges in the United States, and that's that CIAA, Central Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, Athletic Association, CIAA, and it's well visit one of our own frat brothers who's constantly up there and hosting up there through the Steve Harvey Show, and that's J. Anthony Brown. He loves being at the CIAA. Darryl, let's kind of take some time and talk about some storylines, and I'm just going to kind of get started. They had a championship game this past week of the 25th of February through the 2nd, and it was held in Charlotte, North Carolina. We know that's where the All-Star game was. We kind of looked at in the men's side and the women's side, and the championship on the men's side, you had Virginia State beating Charlotte 77-66, led by Jameer Heiser with 28 points and 12 rebounds, and he's all-tournament team as well as MVP. On the women's side, you got Virginia Union 75, Fayetteville State 41. Sharika McNeil broke the CIAA tournament scoring record with 37 points as Virginia Union won its second consecutive CIAA Women's Basketball Championship, as I stated, 75-41. Any thoughts on that, Darryl? You want to share your thoughts in regards to what you heard in regards to the CIAA championship? Like I said, it's the most well-attended historical black colleges basketball tournament, university tournament in the country out of all the other three that they have. Any thoughts on it, Darryl?
You know, it's great to hear, and it's great to see the camaraderie there, the participation, the fans. Is strong, and what a great championship game it was. You know, Dr. Smith, I often say it's not all bad. Sometimes there are pockets of good sports in the HBCU arena, and I'm just so proud to be a part of that. To sit back and watch how it has come full circle the way it has. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
And to kind of just kind of put a spin on that as well, Darryl, you're so right with that. And I'm just kind of – and let me kind of share some things, because some years I've been listening, and hopefully we can get our team together next and we can go up to where it's going to be out on the East Coast because it's well attended, as I stated, and the celebrities are there. They're there to make sure they have one of these things. People dress and they do some ratings of the way the people dress. And they said there's one particular gentleman that they always talk about on the Steve Harvey show in the morning after the CIAA tournament is he comes there and he comes in this nice suit, well dressed with the shoes and the matching scarf, matching hat, and he have it all. And then you see many of people well dressed at that tournament. So the pageantry is there. The bands are just off the chain. You got each one are required to bring their band when they're playing. That means whether the boys, whether the men or women. And that's the kind of pageantry. That's the kind of importantness, the important point of this tournament. It means that we're going to be the best, even though we're Division II, and we're going to be the best. So it was outstanding. It was exciting. And we're going to applaud those of the commissioner and other officials of the CIAA on what they did to make that tournament a lasting memory for many of the people in the on the East Coast. Also, we had the SIAC tournament that was held in Birmingham last weekend. And the last week, you had the SIAC, the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. They had their championship, and the winner on the men's side was Miles College. Unique about that, Miles College also won the football championship. So we're beginning to get some uniqueness in regards to football and basketball. So it's not such thing as you're just a football school. Miles is a football and a basketball school because they won the championship. They dismantled Lamont Owens 70-46, and it was led by Jalea Watson Gaylor with 15 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. On the women's side, there we have Lane College, Lane out of Tennessee up there, defeated Kentucky State 44-22, and our Trish McCoy finished with 11 points, steals, and 4 rebounds. And she was assisted by Ada McNeely, finished with a game-high 14 points, three rebounds, one block shot, one steal, and one assist. So Lane College won the women's side of the division, and that's the SIAC. Any thoughts on that there?
Yeah, Doc. In fact, I got a glimpse of that. I've been so busy on the road. But, you know, the thing that most impressed me is that couple of power fours that they have, man, those girls were just dynamic. If you didn't know any better, you think guys were out there on that floor. I promise you.
Oh, wow.
It was a fantastic tournament. It was just awesome, man. And I could appreciate it. And I'm hoping, I don't know, Doc, just to switch gears real quick, the girl from Troy, who is, you know, that had all of the controversy around the money.
Is she, because I
got it on my mind, is she going to be able to play college ball?
Yes.
Because I haven't kept
She'll
up
be able
with
to play
it. Okay, great.
And there, your question is a good question because a lot of people think what's happening with the Alabama High School Athletic Association would affect her in college. It's not going to affect her because each state operates different. And a lot of states will allow a student to accept money and still be able to play, whereas Alabama is one of the states out of the 50 states that does not, because it can get out of hand, because it has already gotten out of hand in the state of Alabama with through tennis shoes, through other various ways people have provided these students with these extra benefits in a high school level. Parents and received money. This is not the first time this has come up. It came up about 20 years ago over at a school here locally. And it was done, and it led to that coach resigning. So these are the kind of things that happen. It's just that Alabama is not going to change. And since you brought that up, and some people had a lot, I had some questions for people up in Birmingham that was asking me, even though there was a lot of people there at the game, what was going to happen with that situation. And as I dialogue with several people, I try to let them know that situation is not over. The person, yes, asked it to be dismissed, but the problem you have is the High School Athletic Association still have a ruling out there, and that ruling is not going to change. The court allowed this person to play, as we discussed earlier. However, they did not consent. The Alabama High School Athletic Association did not consent to have the case dismissed. So in essence, the case is going to move on because our association paid over $30,000 to work to go through the process of what they went through. So they're not letting it go. I'm just giving you that word, and for all the listeners, they're not going to let it go. And unfortunately, they're going to make sure the rule fall into play, meaning to make sure that won't happen again. And this person, it won't affect that person because they'll move on, but those players at that school is going to end up suffering because it became a legal thing where you had politicians getting involved with it, legislators getting involved with it, people outside getting involved. So you have a situation. But we're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about that, but it's something that we're going to hear about in the future, and then we'll discuss it on the show. All right, let's look at our two Division I conference of the historical black colleges and universities, and that's the SWAC, Southwest Athletic Conference, as well as the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. Both of those are still playing. They have what they call an 18-game rotation. That 18-game rotation will end this Saturday. At this point, Prairie View has won the regular season champion in the SWAC for the men's. Southern is still working because they still got these two games to go. But Southern on the women's side, it looks like they're going to win it as well, but they still have two games, got tomorrow night and Saturday night. And they start the tournament next week on the 11th through the 15th. I'm going to give you some of the special points about that as I talk with our listener. And our call-in number is 347-857-4192. The tournament will be played in Birmingham, and they'll take the top 8 teams of the conference. 10 teams in the conference, so 2 teams are going to stay at home. And those top teams are going to play, and I'm going to tell you some logistics dealing with that. And the top 4 teams, as soon as they finish with the schedule Saturday to see who are the top 4 teams, will host a first-round game. So at this point, from looking at the schedule and looking at the records and standing, look like ASU women might have an opportunity to host. The men had an opportunity, but on Monday night, they literally got blitzed by the team who clinched the SWAC regular season championship, was Prairie View. They also lost on Saturday against Texas Southern, who's in second place. They actually was in third place. Now, with that those two losses, they have went from third to a possibly fifth or sixth place. Now, the uniqueness of this is that whoever's the top 14, you host on your campus. As I said, the women look like they're in pretty good shape, but the men's had an opportunity. They got 2 more games. They need to win 1 or 2 of these games because they to stay in it. Right now, they're 9-7 in the conference. Prairie View is 15-1, and Texas Southern is 13-3. So those teams, they're not going to catch those teams, but you try to get in the top 4. You've got to get in the top 4 so you can host. As long as you're in the top 8, you're in it. But if you're the top 4, you host the quarterfinals. And then the semifinals are played in Birmingham, Alabama, at the Bill Harris Arena on Friday and Saturday. So for all of those individuals interested in going to the SWAC Championship, you can go to Birmingham and see the last 4 teams that's standing on Friday the 15th and see the championship game on Saturday. So that's what will be going on with the SWAC on the both sides, women and men. That all happens. So you're talking about 4 games on Friday and then 2 games on Saturday. up in the Bill Harris Arena, Fair Park, over on the Bessemer Highway. You can check that out. Check out the SWAC Championship. Any thoughts on that, Darryl?
Coach, here's what I wanted to ask you, Dr. Smith, on that SWAC Championship. Now, I know the girls look good. What's your take on it? Who do you think is going to actually come out on top of with that?
I personally feel that on the men's side, I think Prairie View, after watching them Monday night, because it was broadcast, it was the ESPN game for the SWAC, for the Black College, and they look real good against ASU. They have all the weapons to do what they need to do. They have some size, and it's not really big 7-foot guys. They're more of a 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", but they're athletic, and they got some 3-point shooters. A game that was actually close ended up being an embarrassing blowout, like 96-69. That game was close. It might have been 15, might have been when I turned it off, but it ended up final. So I see Prairie View. Then Texas Southern looks real well. So it looks to probably be Texas Southern and Prairie View playing for the championship. So the state of Texas coming to Birmingham to play to see who the best in the SWAC and get that automatic bid. The winner get the automatic bid, but the regular season champion get the invitation to the NIT. They get that invitation. And a possibility there could be another team that have a good record that'll get a chance to play in another one of these postseason tournaments they have. So that's how that look with it. But Prairie View look like they're the team to beat. On the men's side, on the women's side, it's Southern. They look like the team to beat, even though ASU beat them one time. I'm talking about Alabama State women. They beat them one time. So they was last 9-6 to last 10, and I think they're now 10-6. So they're in the top four, so there will possibly be a home game at Alabama State. That wasn't the last game on Monday night, and there's a possibility it's going to be a playoff game at Alabama State either. It's going to be the women. The men have a chance to push themselves back up in it. But it's going to be outstanding. So put your meat in the seats. If you're locally to check out those teams, if your university is one of the schools in there, make sure you attend. Make sure you be a part of it. Then head on to Birmingham for that. Really, you're looking at a one-night stay for some people, or possibly a two-night stay up there in Birmingham for that championship game. So it looks exciting. It's championship time. So the team that can do it, going to do it. The ones that can't, going to get ready to mothball them uniforms and put them up and come for next year. So that's how we stand with our SWAC. Let's look at the MEAC. And our calling number is 347-857-4192. If you want to share your thought, press 1. I'll identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to identify yourself and where you're calling from, and then join in the conversation. So excited. We're really excited on Talking Sports Plus. We're glad to be here talking sports about historical back colleges, universities, high school, and middle school. All right, the MEAC. You know, the MEAC will be played in Norfolk, Virginia, at the Norfolk Scope. Norfolk is the top seeded team in the MEAC. There will be some exciting things going on up there in Norfolk, Virginia. And we look forward to seeing some real good things by each and every one of those teams. That will happen the 11th through the 16th of March in the Norfolk Scope Arena. Norfolk State is 14-1 in the conference. As you say, they got a couple games to go. You have North Carolina A&T. They're 12-3. North Carolina Central University. Then you have Howard, 9-6. Bethune-Cookman, 9-6. Those are top 5 teams, but they play a little different. They play all week. If you're going to attend the MEAC, the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, they start on Monday because they got both divisions, girls, women, and men's, and they play that top seed against that lower seed. that very low, the last seed, and they play in that level, 112, 211, and 10. They work their way down to get to their championship game that will be televised for the men and the women on Saturday, March 6th, in Norfolk Scope Center, which is Norfolk, Virginia. So we look forward for that to be an exciting championship, and the winner will get the automatic bid to March Madness that start the following week. So we're there. It's time for a championship. We're going to see who's going to be the best. We're going to see who can handle the business. We're going to see who can do what it can do. So that's our basketball. Now, you can be a part of it, like I said, 347-857-4192. There, we want to move to our coach's corner. And I'm just hoping in a minute we get our other coach. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I just wanted to tell you, it's 8:30.
I was about to say, I'll touch down Tony and call, but we're going to share with those individuals that's on the line. That's the 10th caller that we got to give away by gift certificate at 8:30. Now, it's 8:30 there, so we're going to call out the number. Now, these individuals that made the 10th caller. Now, we try not to give the family and friend, but whoever called in, we're trying to build something here, Darryl. We're trying to build something here. So what we have here, and we'll call out the last four digits of your telephone number, and then I want you to respond because I'm going to make you live, and you identify who you are, and you will win the dinner of the $25 gift card. Now, drum roll. The number, the 10th call is, the last four digits is 3800. If that's your last four digits, make sure you let me know by pushing number one, and then I will make you live. And if you want to tell your name is five, I want to congratulate you. That's 3800, and they are live now. Let me say, you are the winner of the $25 gift card to Red Lobster. Can you tell us where you're calling from and who you are? And we want to make sure we get your information. And we want to say congratulations to you for joining us, 3800, your opportunity to share who you are. That's your choice, because you are the winner of the $25 gift card to Red Lobster. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fine. This boy sounds too familiar. Woo!
Well,
how you doing? But you won the gift card. I can't go. Tell us who you are, where you calling from, and just let us know. Why you just enjoy listening Talk to Sports Plus.
Olivia Smith from the Atlanta area. I am calling.
Okay.
Just wanted to let you know that I try to listen every week. The team is just very inspiring, and it keeps me up to date on sports and what's going on with HBCUs. And also the accomplishments of you all as coaches.
Awesome, awesome. Man, I tell you, Olivia, we do appreciate you joining us and appreciate every week you join us, because I do kind of look down and see your number on there, but you were the 10th caller this time. You're joining us, so you get the $25. And what you can do after the show, you can just email me. The email number is my email address is LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com. Come and let us know what we need to send it to.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You all have a great day.
There? All right, you do the same, Ms. Smith. Appreciate you calling in. I appreciate it. There, we got our second winner. Now we on the road. We got to get some more prizes.
We
got to get some more prizes.
We can make that happen real quick.
That'll work. That way. I do appreciate O'Leary Smith out of right outside Atlanta, Georgia, calling and been listening to the show. She was a 10th caller, so we do give her an opportunity. We say congratulations to her and Dale. We're going to continue to do this every week so we can, you know, have our listeners get something, and we're going to give back to the community. That's what it's all about.
Sounds good, Doc.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Awesome. Now, Dale, let's kind of flip the strip, because I'm sitting here, like you said, I'm waiting on Touchdown Tony not to get lost on that. I had to use my other phone to touch bases so he can get on and talk about some of that high school athletic that happened up in Birmingham, the championship. But before we go there, we're going to talk about LeBron. And we're going to take an opportunity to talk about LeBron, because LeBron is in a situation that's it's in dire straits right now. And the question we had that we want to talk about, should the Lakers shut down LeBron? Tell me what you think about that, Daryl.
I think he's not ready for Hollywood, man. I think he's just not ready for Hollywood, man. And for real, though. I keep hearing the talk, you know, that LeBron is no longer the super, 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 super player that everybody thought he was going to be. And he's in the wrong place. He should never made it to the Lakers. But I didn't see all of this coming. I honestly didn't see it, Doc. I didn't see any of this coming. But, you know, they're saying he's too young, that he's not mature enough to be out there in Kobe Bryant land, as they called it. So, I mean, that's my take on it. He's not ready for prime time out there in Hollywood. Back to you, Doc.
Exactly. Hey, you know what, Darryl, you kind of hit it on the head. We saw some things before he even went to L.A., even in Cleveland, that showed that LeBron, you know, we call him the biggest crybaby that he is. Things don't go right. But everybody was excited because LeBron was getting to him. I think the immaturity, you may agree with what I'm trying to say here, is not so much as his maturity, because he's been in the league 16 years, but his matureness as a leader to guide young men to get them to follow him. I think that he lost that. Even when he walked on there the first day, they was playing well. They was in fourth place, and he got hurt, and those guys was really counting on him. And then when they got up with the trade talks with about Anthony Davis, talking about trading the whole team, they lacked maturity. They needed a leader not to blame, not to chastise them. They needed a leader to pick them up after the All-Star break. And after the All-Star break, they just give up completely. Now, that team will not be anything close to what we think it should be next year, meaning in regards to players. The coaches won't be there. Now, I think it'll be a lot of money put in place to get an All-Star coaching staff there. And they're going to bring few players, but they won't bring with everybody, whoever everybody thinks, because the talking heads and partners are saying right now that they are not going to be able to get one of this a free agent, the superstar free agent. But before I say anything else, I want this gentleman to say something, because he's on the line with us. We have the king. I don't have to say nothing, but the king is with us there. None other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, King?
How y'all doing? I'm sorry about that tonight. Went to a JUCO tournament, and I'm sliding in here now, Coach Smith. Enlighten me, Coach.
Enlighten. We're on the point about LeBron. We're talking about LeBron. We have some thoughts about LeBron. Should he shut it down? Was it the best move? What happened to cause the Lakers just look like crap? I'm going to say a hot mess, like it's being said by talking heads and pundits. Give us your thoughts on LeBron. Shut it down, and is he now no longer the greatest player on the planet?
Dr. Smith, I still think he's ranked amongst the top with, top players. He will surpass some of the greats in a scoring title, rebounding titles, and assist titles. But this year, it was a mental case as for the Lakers. When we went talking about trade talks, everyone checked out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to live with it. And carry on for next year. I don't think LeBron should shut it down. No, sir. I don't think he should shut it down. But we got to live with it, and hopefully we can get a push to get in this playoffs. I think we have about 18, 19 games left. For us to get in there, we might have to win 15 of them. But we shouldn't shut down. Let's go, LeBron. Let's go and finish strong, man.
Okay. Well, it's 16 games left, and you, Westgate give a 0.1 chance of making the playoff. Excuse me. And I just kind of think that if them guys was to kind of mature just a little bit in the next week or so, they could win 10 of the next 15. But they have to start somewhere, and they can't just quit. And I think, as we were saying, Darryl and I were saying earlier, that these players kind of, you know, after, you know, LeBron got hurt, they kind of shut it down because there was a lot of talk, the talking head and partners and everybody saying they are not capable of carrying on when LeBron was not there. And they needed LeBron, and when he came back, he was more trying to be the one that did. I guess he was trying to tie them instead of trying to lift the little boys up, because the young men were still immature. We got to realize these guys are 19, 20 years old. They look up to LeBron, but they can't handle criticism. And the way the media was doing, they didn't give them a chance. And it's so amazing. I don't know whether you agree, but it's not on our topic, but I want to bring this up. Do you really, really think the media is one of the problems dealing with the Lakers trying to get even got that trade to work or even get anything happening because they're so negative on what the Lakers should be? They don't sound too positive to me. I don't know y'all thoughts on it. Tell me what y'all think about the media perpetrating the negative stuff where players don't want to go out there, or either they can't get a trade because they was talking about the trade before the trade even come about, and putting people's name that might not even been in there because they just wanted it to happen and it didn't happen. Tell me your thoughts on that.
Dr. Smith, I was going to say this to you about the media. They have a giant footprint now in just about everything that happens on the earth now. So, yeah, the media has a giant footprint over in sports, in government, and they can move the needle certain ways. So, yes, they are way, way too influential in the arena of sports, and that's where I am. And thank God you're on this line, King. Good to talk with you.
All right, King, before you say something, King, let me make sure I holler at and let the touchdown Tony let everybody know that he's with us and he can say hello. How you doing, touchdown Tony?
What's up, my brothers? I've been involved in some things, but I've had to shove some things back and move on to see what's going on in that radio world. What's up, my man? What's up, my brother?
Not much, my brother. We just roll and try to make it do what it do here. All right. You know, good to have it.
You know, I got in on the end of that media versus personalities in sports. You know, the only issue I have with that is, especially with professional athletes, is, first of all, media has a job to do. Kudos to you there. You do a great job with that as well. And sports athletes don't get made unless media makes them. Am I right there? But when they have faults, they don't want the media to allow to call the faults out. That's why I like Stephen A. Smith. He damn calling like he see it. Like the referee. Just that simple. Until all of the athletes, especially African-American athletes, understand that, hey, when you're a professional on a professional platform, you stand for something, and you also have to be a mindful that whatever blow is taken to you, be professional to take it. And don't become defenseless. You know, we all can hide behind everything that's bad, but we want to stand out. That's what I like about Michael. That's why Mike today is still the best that ever suited up, because he did it with class. He ended with class, and he's still class. Somebody said today, is LeBron better than Mike? One of the boys said, I don't know, but I'm still buying Mike's shoes.
Still buying Mike's shoes. There you go.
That's right.
Dirt is everything.
And we need to understand that, you know, you're not rich and famous without having some type of downfall. There's something coming behind that. Nothing good doesn't come with a price tag. I'm telling you now. I work for the Alabama High School Athletic Association. I can well tell you, it comes with a price tag.
It comes with a price tag. I agree 100% with you, brother. It's a 347-857-4192. Trey, you were about to say something, Trey.
yes, sir, Dr. Smith. The media ate the Lakers alive, man. And like the Pelicans owner said, he was just throwing a trade out there to kill the team around. Like, and the trade talks, ain't no way I'm going to give up all them people for one person. Ain't no way, Dr. Smith. And this is the key with that. Anthony Davis is a good player, but he's also a hurt player. Anthony Davis is hurt more than he playing to me. Like, I follow him throughout his career. He's hurt more than he played. So I don't want to throw all my bullets in there for him and get one shot. You know what I'm saying? So the media ate us alive, and we're going to have to deal with it. Like you said, Dr. Smith, we'll probably have a new coach. Next year they're talking about firing Luke Walton after this year. So we'll see how it works, man. Hopefully go for the best.
Well,
I thought this was our year.
Hold up, Trey. Let me say something. You know, I'm full of energy right now. I wouldn't give a damn if they fire Luke tomorrow. Ain't nobody going to win with that. Luke is not the problem. The problem is, the answer was LeBron to a certain extent. Nobody had expectations that they had. But to be mindful, let's go back. Hell, he had him in the fourth place before he went down with an injury. Am I right? He stayed out six and a half games. All right, then your point guard go down with a broke finger. Then after that, your two guards go down. Hell, in the West, you can't go down out of fourth. You can't get in fourth spot in the West unless you're playing good basketball. And you damn sure can't recover when you go down eight. So it's a situation where – everybody pointing their finger. Luke ain't the damn problem. Hell, Luke was above 500 before LeBron got there. You don't have the chemistry. But to fire somebody, the only thing that shows is one thing. We made a move to move in the right direction. Hell, I found out administration a long time ago. You too, Mr. Smith. The easy thing about being administrator or being in charge of something is firing. The hardest thing is replacing
them. Yep. And retaining them.
What I was going to say, I think half the problem is Luke, though, says now Tony. The style of play.
Give me one specific of how it is Luke. I mean, look at the hand he's there.
We're not the Golden State Warriors, and we can't play that fast and be efficient. We don't have players like the Golden State Warriors.
Statistics said today that I heard today now, and I didn't know this, that Luke had Lakers last year. Fourth best team in the West in defense.
I understand that, but we don't have none of the same people that we had last year. We added too many pieces. We got rid of a lot.
If that's the case, then I can agree with you to a certain extent. But Luke didn't make all those moves to get rid of those players either. He should have time to deal with the ones they gave him. They didn't give him defensive players.
And like I said, I understand you totally. But that team was built on a team that didn't have a ball-dominant player. You didn't have a superstar on that team. You had a bunch
of guys. Then why you fired coach? But why would you? When you have no personnel on the damn floor. I understand that. I fired coach if you was at Golden State with all that damn talent and couldn't win a championship. I fired coach quick. Or couldn't get in the playoff. I fired. But that team there, hey, you have to be careful how you fire coach. I don't know too many coaches might not want to take that damn job.
Now, I'm going to say this, man. It ain't about, like you saying, I think Luke Walton is more of a team-type coaching, but we ain't got no team-type players right now. It's ball dominant by LeBron.
So you get rid of coach? Get rid of coach?
This is the key. And this is the key right here, Chris Brown, Tony. He's averaging almost a triple-double. He's averaging 27, 28 points. He's averaging 12 rebounds. He's averaging 9.3 assists. And we can't win games because it's not efficient. We're not playing any defense. We're trying too fast.
Well, when we was in the fourth place, we played. Wait a minute, now. Let's go back. Now, don't disregard what I said before. Now, when Lake was in the fourth place, they were playing defense. He got hurt. Then that team got exposed.
I disagree.
You don't think, let me ask this question, Trey. You don't think being fourth place in the West is not a significant or indication of playing defense in the West?
I understand you totally with that, but when we were fourth place in the West, we was 10 to 15 games in the season, Stalwart. We won.
No. It was more than that. You were in double figures. You was like about 20-something.
Stalwart. Yeah. It's no more than 20 games in the season when we were fourth place in the West.
Okay.
No more than 20.
And you can't go by that. Okay. You got to wait. I see your point. We're not going to be all the minutes about that. I don't think Luke Walker should take the whole fall for that. I really don't. I think it's bad.
And the call number is 347-857-4192. You can call and share your thoughts. We got an explosive conversation tonight about Luke Walton and everybody else. And the bottom line, he's not Magic choice. Magic going to choose or he won't. So I think that's what the bottom line. Whether Luke Walton is still a good job.
Magic might be the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So if he ain't going nowhere, but Luke going somewhere, and he'll probably be UCLA coach next year. So that'll probably be what's going to happen. All right. We want to kind of move this forward. But I want to, Tony, I want to leave us some time where we can talk about some high school basketball and talk about what went on this past weekend up in Birmingham, Alabama. Then a couple of players I consider two players on the men, on the boys and the girls side, and I call spotlight players. Y'all can agree or disagree. Y'all tell me who y'all think might have been a spotlight player. All right, Coach Stallworth, I'm going to kind of give you the floor and let you talk about that AHSAA Final Seven up in Birmingham, Alabama.
The Final Seven was probably one of the largest in attendance there was. I think what we had to look at this year in the Final Seven is a few coaching changes, lot less returning state champions. I like the fact. Let's talk about some of the players. I like Cal over Princeton. I think Cal is going to be a premier guard, and of course he'll be in the All-Star game this summer. Tristan, of course, Walford at Mountain Brook, and Jaquan Walton, and several other players. But let me say this. Those boys down there in 3A called Plainview, last year they beat Hillcrest Evergreen at the buzzer, and this year they won at the buzzer, and the same player. That's something to be thinking of. But I thought Talladega was a surprise team this year. Looked real, real good.
Yeah.
And I like Hazel Green. Tim Miller's up your way, Trent. He's still doing his thing and doing a great job. Tim Miller has done well everywhere he has gone. Hoover girls came in the tournament with one loss and left with one loss. Fantastic job in 7A. A little bit disappointment, but not disappointment. I think James Jackson, 2 years in a row, has done probably to me one of the most phenomenal coaching jobs there is. Remember now, that team was loaded with half of Lanier players at the beginning of the season, and he ended up having to play Lanier. Remember last year down in the regional and win. This year, they defeated him. They sent him to Uvalde. He came back and got him again. Regional finals. Somebody need to give James Jackson some credit, even though he lost to Pinson, which was a very good basketball team in the finals. So kudos to Coach Jackson for that. I think Coach Barber should be committed to down in Pinson Valley. You know, he used to be at midfield. And Coach Barber's a class guy. He was one of the teams that, along with Sumter Central, got pulled out of the tournament last year because of an inadvertent situation with, you know, playing too many games. I don't always want to accuse a coach of that. Sometimes those things are not intentional. Sometimes it happens unintentionally. However, he moved on, went to another team, and, hey, came on and won it in a higher class, two classes higher. So Coach Barber, that was a great job. And in Bethesda now, Pinson Valley also won it in football. But I still have to say this. Great state championship. Not a great day, I think, on Saturday. I think the semis were better than the finals. I think you agree with that too, Dr. Smith. I think everybody needs to get ready for a real, real good all-star game, the Alabama-Mississippi, which will be in Montgomery this year. Bucky McMillan will be the coach. And those three players I just named, or two of those three players I just named that are seniors, will be in that game. So basketball is not quite done yet. But, hey, a great 2018-19 season of basketball. There you have it.
Awesome, awesome. Trey, you
want to
share some thoughts on that?
I agree totally with Touchdown Tony with each year's Alabama High School Athletic Association finals and semifinals. Like Coach Howard said, the semifinals was more intriguing than the finals.
Yeah, they were.
But like I said, I talked to Dr. Smith about the games. Like Tony Starwood said, Hoover lost one game, and people don't understand that one loss Hoover had was to Hazel Green Girls. Hazel Green Girls didn't lose to nobody in the state of Alabama.
Trey, you brought another point to me too. Let's talk about Winona for a minute. Winona won in the class, and they were the team, the only team to beat Mount Brook in the state of Alabama.
Hey, beat Mount Brook and Pinson Valley.
Sure did.
Mount Brook and Pinson Valley.
So sure did.
That's big time for Winona, but I knew something special was gonna happen with the boys from Winona. And they popped up. But that Cam Woods was one of the most exciting kids to watch during the semifinals and finals. He just got a knack for the game. He gets the crowd involved. He always looking in the crowd. He do a move, hit the shot. He looking in the crowd for the support. So
we know where Cam came from, don't we?
Yeah.
Leave that alone, y'all.
We got to.
It's all good. I say it like right here. When they get it done, they did it done right. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Yeah,
parents and kids ought to be allowed for their children to go to school where they see fit. That's all the rules. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it at all.
But you got to look at this, though, Tony. You got to look at this. Pinson lost one that went to Mount Brook.
Sure did. That's the kid that won the semifinal game on the dunk. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yes, sir. So it was a gift and gab for both teams. So
Dr. Smith. Lehigh School semifinal game with Mount Brook was the 7A
yes,
class state champion. It was.
Yes, sir.
Great ball.
I believe if Lee would have stuck to what they did well, I think they would have pulled that game out. Says down, Tony. I really do.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think they just got out
the
element.
But the thing is, Mount Brook is one of those type teams is you can only keep them on the edge for so long because whatever
yes,
they do, they don't stop doing it, and eventually it catches up with you. You know.
Yes,
so
sir.
I think that game plan that Lee had was the best that I've seen against that team in the last three or four years up there. And I think if they could have maybe gotten a few more inside plays, but if you look off just 1 second, all of a sudden that game will turn around against Mount Brook. That's just the way they play. They play this scrappy tempo game that disguises a whole lot of things, and one turnover can turn into something drastic.
Yes, sir.
It don't look good, but the results are. Hey, but did y'all see when they substitute when the real Mount Brook players came on the floor?
Oh yeah,
yeah, I seen
the real Mount Brook team came on the floor with about 40 seconds left. I said, "Oh, that's the team right there. That team would have been here."
Exactly. No way they would have been in anybody. But you know what? I sit down and watch a lot of basketball. I'm going to applaud the Alabama High School Athletic Association, and I'm quite sure other states might be the same way, but I know what I know best. I was impressed from the time the sub-region started. Well, area tournament, because I went to Mobile, and I was down in Mobile, went to 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 schools down there, driving all over Mobile, checking them out, saw what they had. But then to come and be up at a beautiful setup to me, Montgomery with Gary Coliseum and Alabama State. I had a chance to go from game to game to game, wherever I wanted to sit a half a day. That cut down my travel because last year I traveled to Dothan. And Dothan took me out of the way where I couldn't see what was going on in Montgomery, but it was awesome. Then get a chance to, during the middle of the week, go over to Jacksonville and spend some time up there. So, and then to get to Birmingham to see the setup and the way
the excitement of the crowd. Somebody asked me on the about how the crowd was even on Saturday, how the crowd was Friday night. But it was I'm gonna say it like the young kids said, it was crunk. I loved it. I loved that kind of basketball. And the attendance was there. And I applaud the Alabama High School Athletic Association for the job that putting this together, making it really feel like it's a magical moment for each team that was able to make it. You know, if your team didn't win, you had the greatest experiences possible. And that's what Talking Sports is all about, giving you an experience, bringing you that experience of the high school, middle school, as well as the historical black colleges and universities, talking about athletics, let you know that we do exist, meaning those historical black colleges, those high schools and middle schools in this part of the country, and we want you to know about it. And I'm going to get some information. We're going to talk about Florida next week because I understand they had an outstanding one as well. Not compared to Alabama now, but they had an outstanding one because they got eight classes down there, and they nine classes, one of them. They're pretty big with theirs as well. But any other thoughts on that, brother, we want to share about the High School Athletic Association? I'm sorry.
Brother Smith,
the final
brother
seven.
Brother Smith, thank you so very much for those comments. It's so many times that people don't realize the work and not only the professionalism that the Alabama High School Athletic Association puts into all their sports athletes. Because what they do is want to make sure it is class and it's promotional and it becomes a long-lasting effect on student-athlete parents as well. And I think that's something that is overlooked. The only time that the Alabama High School Athletic Association sometimes get criticized is when some things just don't happen the way some people want them to happen. But kudos and thank you so very much for that statement. I hate to leave you, but I'm about to talk to my former boss right now, Mr. Severese. He's buzzing in and want to talk to me about something. So get back with your next week. See you, my brother. And look here, my brother up in Huntsville Way, call me in the morning so I can, me and you can talk the way we need to talk off the air, okay?
That's all right. And make it do what it do. Take your day and don't let the day take you. All right, Tony, it's all on you, brother. It's good to have you on here. Thank you, Tony, so much. Trey, any other thoughts on, you know, I was going to talk a little bit about Kyler Murray, but you know what? We'll let Kyler Murray do what they need. I think we had an outstanding night. Any other thoughts on this high school athletic tournament? Because you was there in person, so ain't nothing somebody tell you. And, you know, what do you thought about it? Did you thought it was a good basketball play, good organization? Do you see all that? It's just your thoughts on that, Brother Trey.
It was big time, Dr. Smith. I couldn't complain about anything that was going on. The only thing I could complain about is not being able to walk across the gym to the hospitality room. That's the only thing I got.
Oh, yeah, to walk all the way up.
Yeah, they made me walk all the way around to it. So,
yeah.
Other than that, it was a great experience. I was able to take my my basketball team down, boys and girls basketball team. So they got that experience. They got to see the kids in the semifinal setting. They got to see them win and lose. So
good.
Other than that, it was a great experience. I seen a lot of coaching things that I could to do and not to do. I seen teams trust in the process. I seen some teams not trust in the process of what they did.
Awesome.
I've seen a lot of things out there, Dr. Smith.
Well, that's awesome, Trey. And I'm glad you shared that thought because so we go to the tournament, we watching, and we watch other people coach, and we learn from other individuals. You know, I just like what it said about J.J. Jackson, Coach Jackson. I thought he had a had an organized plan that got him there from Eufaula through Lanier. And when he got there, he even made it through that semifinal. When he got into that game, I really truly think that was more a situation where basketball players outnumbered athletes are. That's what I saw because beyond Jaquan Walter, that was really nobody else really able to play. And as I shared earlier with someone about this Murphy kid that came from AISA, I told him this is a whole different ball game when you get up there. And he disappeared, number 23, like I thought he would. And that's how it is. But that Cam and the spotlight players, and I want to mention them. Trey, I want to start doing this every week that we do spotlight players. And if you think of two players, one a girl, one a boy, that you thought was spotlight, and these ones I thought was spotlight.
And these two people, Cam Wood of Pinson Valley, I consider him to be a spotlight player. He had 25 points in the championship game against Carver, and he had 13 points in the semifinal game win over Hillcrest. And I saw something that was unique about this young man. I don't know where he come from, but you know what? Nothing scares him. Carver was woofing. Carver was bumping. Carver was doing everything. Every player tried to check him. Every player Carver had tried to check him. 23, Jaquan, 25, the Gaston boy, number 11, which is Jaquan's brother. They tried to check him. He laughed at him because they was holding on him, pushing, bumping him. He was laughing. Went down late in the ball game, two crucial threes in their face, and it didn't bother. It was in Jaquan. He shook Jaquan so bad one time, he like broke his leg out in the middle of the court. I'm like, this kid, but he has no emotions. He just played. He was our spotlight player on the boys' side and on the girls' side. And then some can agree, some can disagree. But this is a person I watched through the tournament. But just because of their size, this person stand about 4'10", 4'11". Her name is Quartisha Leatherwood from Central Tuscaloosa. She records 18 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds in the championship game, which they beat Madison Academy 65-63. In the semifinal game against Brewer, Leatherwood stands at 4'11". They can say he 5'1". She wanted at 4'11", had 21 points, 5 steals, and received 44% of the votes to win the Alabama High School Athletic Association State Finals Girls Player of the Week. Those two spotlight players, I want Brother Trey, if he has anyone he wants to add to that, I like to hear what he has to say from his observation. You watch it on live streaming as well as he watch it in person. What you think, Brother Trey? Then we'll get ready to wrap the show up.
I agree totally with you, Dr. Smith. I'm gonna do two guys. Cam Woods on the boys' side. And also Trenton Wofford. I like the way Wofford showcased. He got Robert E. Lee to go out of their element and try to stop him and go detour away from their game plan. With the girls, I'm going to go with you with the guard from Central Tuscaloosa. I liked her. And I also like the guard from Hazel Green. I know her first name, Jaden. But she showcased a lot of skill, too. Those are the two people I go with for both sides.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I'm telling you, it was an outstanding tournament. I really enjoyed my 4 or 5 days there. Look forward to doing the same thing next year. But I want our team to go and be able to do some live broadcasting from the hotel, talk to some of the teams and players. And also we'll work to get a media pass or sponsorship. We'll do sponsorship next year so we can go in with our badges, corporate badges in too. So we look forward to have an awesome time talking Sports Plus. Got a whole different a level they want to go to next year, and we will make sure we make it important. We make sure the team is getting a chance to move around and do some things and enjoy each of these tournaments like the CIAA. I'm going to move toward getting the media clearance on that one, as well as making sure we get the SWAC. And the SWAC will be, and let me say, and we didn't talk very much, I think Brother Trey, you came in late on it. SWAC will be the top 14 will host on their campus next week. And then on the Friday and Saturday, they'll be up in Birmingham on Friday night for the semifinals for the girls and for the boys and women, men. And championship will be on Saturday for both. So that's how it's going to be for this upcoming week for both the MEAC, because the MEAC will be in Norfolk, Virginia, and the SWAC will be in Birmingham. That's how we look. We had an outstanding show tonight. We didn't get to all the topics, but we got to what we need. Excited to have the team back. We're going to have everybody rolling back next week. Trey, your last thoughts, and we'll get ready to close it out.
Yes, Dr. Smith, sorry for being late again tonight, Dr. Smith, but glad to be here. Coming up on track season, we got track season up here, so we're trying to focus on that. That's all I got for tonight. Dr. Smith, and I always remember, man, ain't no fun when the rabbit has the gun, Dr. Smith. Let's stick to that model.
There you go. Showcase, baby. Showcase, King. You made it right. We had an awesome night. And also to Dale E. He had to leave out here early. We appreciate him being the star of the show off. Then touchdown, Tony had to get off the phone talking with his past boss of the High School Athletic Association. And I always tell everybody to keep on grinding. That's the hashtag. The Smith Way. That's the hashtag. And communicate for understanding. But last but not least, our best days ahead of us. And you know what? I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night. We'll be back on Friday, and we'll be doing Balling with the Doc. And then also, we'll have a new show coming in here. And the possibility we're going to do it on Friday as well. We have the relationship guru, Dr. Lowe. Join us. We'll have more information. If not, it'll be Tuesday next week. But our show on Monday, which is Talking Real to You, we have that at 8 o'clock. And on Tuesday, we'll have the Relationship Guru with No Filter. That's Dr. Lowe. And then on Wednesday, we'll have Talking Sports Again. Have an awesome night. I love you. And a thing you can do about it. Have a great night.
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
The best is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge, your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. He told me to tell you the
best is yet.
The author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen them.
You ain't seen your best days.
Oh, well,
my brother.
What you know? It's great.
kitchen.